Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. It has been a while. So praise God. Father, we praise you and thank you for tonight. Just ask that you would speak to us tonight and open our hearts to receive what you have for us. We thank you, Father, for your word as life and health and strength and truth to us and light. We give you praise and thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Gordon said, I've been waiting for 4 months to do this. I think last time was May or April or something like that. So praise God. Just opportunity has not met itself yet. So let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. It says, and when they went out Well, let's start 19. And so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs and amen. So praise the Lord. You know, the power, I'm talking about the power coming back, returning to the church tonight. You know, messages up until this point, it was about having a plan, you know, and the church has got to have a plan. We individually have to have a plan, but the church has got to have a plan too. And I believe the plan for the church is that our power needs to return. The power must return to the church. It's not only the world that is in darkness, but the church is also in darkness. Thank goodness it looks like we're coming out, but we still need more. You know, there is a constant flow of power in your house. But when you turn the switch on, that power is manifested. You know, the omnipresence of God refers to the fact that God is everywhere all of the time. But there are times when we have that manifested presence of God. So we want to learn how to turn on the switch to get that manifested presence of God. And sadly to say, though, that we are satisfied with the omnipresence of God. You know, we're just satisfied to know that God is everywhere all the time, and that's okay. We just know that he's there. And that's really not what God wants. I mean, it's good that God is everywhere all the time, because there will be times when people who don't know him will call upon him and he'll be there. But you know, for the church, we need to have that power switch turned on all of the time for that manifested power of God. And sadly to say that the church is groping in the darkness when we have the power of light within us. And so it's time for us to turn the switch on, get the manifested presence of God. You know, we've been praying and expecting for God to come. And for years now, we've been praying for a great awakening. And, we need to see that. But we've got to do more than just pray. You know, there's more things to do to get God to show up. But The power is here. The power is flowing. God is in the house. And I say that many times from here. God is in the house and God is here. But we've got to get him to manifest himself in more power and a greater strength than just knowing that it is here. It's just like at your house. You know that you have electric. But when you turn the switch on, you get that manifested light. You know, it presents itself. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. And Paul is saying here, he says, therefore also I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, and do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and in knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the inheritance to the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You know, Paul was telling us here, he says, I've heard of your faith, I've heard of your love, but you need power. He's telling the church of Ephesus, you need more than love and you need more than faith. And we as Christians will say, what more could there be? What if you have faith and you have love, what more do you need? We need the demonstration. We need the manifested power of that faith and that love. And so he's telling us here in verse 19, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. He's telling you, you have the power in you, but you got to work it. You got to make it work. You know, and he's just telling you, you got to make it work. Let's look over at chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. God's power is working in you. God's power working in us gives him the glory. And this is really interesting that Paul is telling us here that, you know, he's not only just giving you a little power, you know, not just the constant flow of power, but he said he's given it to you abundantly if you will work it. You know, if you will let him work it in us and work it in you. But you have to be willing to let him work it in you. And we've become so used to and so accustomed to just the normal flow of God, that omnipresence, that he is here. Yes, that's really nice. And sometimes we get a little uncomfortable when he shows up a little stronger at times than others. And we shouldn't be uncomfortable with that, because his mighty power wants to work. And you know, in Matthew 5:15 or 5:16, it says that, well, let's look there. Verse 16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, you know, when we look at this, and I know that light is a luminary and that, but your light is that manifested power of God. And when we let the manifested power of God work in us, then people will give God glory. And I think, you know, that we can pray for hours on end and ask God to do stuff. But when we begin to allow the light to shine through us, that manifested power, you know, because a lot of people say, well, I witness and I, you know, I tell people about Jesus and I live a good life and I do what is right and I always pray over my meals, you know, even when I'm at McDonald's, you know, so that other people can see. But we have got to have the power. This light is the light that healed people when Peter walked down the street and he wasn't saying grace over his meal at McDonald's. You know, this is more than just that omnipresence of you're a good guy, and yet that's really wonderful. You're a good Christian, that's really wonderful. This is more. And we have to want the more in order for the more to happen in us and through us. You know, and so, you know, when he says here, so let your light shine, he's talking about you doing more than just saying your grace over your meals. In John chapter 1, verse 4, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's talking about when in Jesus was the life. And Jesus is the life, but Jesus was the life that brought light to people, to man. And so we need to have that light and that life flowing through us, you know, so that people can see the good works. People need to see the good works. Tommy Tenney wrote a book many years ago called God Chasers, and one of the things that he talks about in that book is fresh bread, and that when people smell fresh bread, they go, you know what it's like when you walk past a bakery and they're baking bread and it smells so good. A lot of times you'll just go in there and buy anything they have, you know. You don't even have to taste it. You just go in there and buy. Well, that's the way the church should be. There should be an aroma. There should be a flow going to such an extent that people absolutely cannot pass by because the mighty works of God, that light, that power is happening in the church. You don't have to tell people that there's revival going on. You don't have to, you know, broadcast it. You don't have to take out billboards. You don't have to do radio broadcasting. When the power of God's at work in the church, people find out. It just happens. People find out. Because people want power. People need power. They need to see that power. And the only way they're going to see and get that power is if we allow it to work through us. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we need to shine our light. We don't do this. We aren't asking for power so that we have a nice full house, that we have a wonderful show. We do it to glorify God because that's what, you know, Matthew says here. Let your light shine that you may glorify God. And that is the whole purpose, that God could get the glory. And, you know, and the power has got to show. Let me ask you this. Is God getting glory from Christians generally all over the world? Not necessarily so. Look at how Christians are being treated, how the church is being treated. It's because we have lowered our standards to where God is ever present. He's here, and it's wonderful. There is no power in the house. There's no power in the church. And people aren't impressed by that. They're not impressed by Christians. I mean, anybody that's running for office can say, I'm a Christian, and people believe them. But there's no power in their life. But you know, when the power starts operating, there's a light, that power, that light shines, it comes on and it draws. And it, you know, it may draw bugs, but it'll also shine a light. Yes. And a pathway for other people who are in darkness to get to where you are. And so you need that light to shine. We need the light to shine in our life. We need the power of God to be operating in our lives, that when you walk down the street and we see sickness, disease, or poverty, that we have the ability to change a life. And that's what power does. Power will change your life. And we need that power of God so that our lives and others around us can be changed, so that God can get the glory. Amen? Yes. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Too long we have been without the power, and we've just accepted the status quo. We've become very comfortable in our churches. We come and we have a good worship service and we feel really good about it. You know, a few people come up and they get prayed for. We feel really nice about what's going on. We feel really good about, you know, we even feel the presence of God, and we're really happy about that. But that is not enough. We've got to have the power. We've got to have power in the church today. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." You know, he says, what is very interesting, we were talking about this some time back. Then in Acts chapter 2, 43, it says, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." And this is when the early church was getting together and all kinds of wonderful things were happening. The power of God was just operating constantly everywhere they went and everything they did. And wonders and signs were happening. People were being healed, delivered, people being raised from the dead. Power was going out, power was going out, power was going out. And and people got in fear. But you know, fear is for people who don't know God. Fear is for people who don't know God. And Paul was telling Timothy here, he says, you do not need to fear because God has not given you fear. And when he says he has given you power here, And he says, but he's given you power. That, he says, he has given you the miraculous power. God has made you a worker of miracles and of love and a sound mind. And that's when you read power there in the Greek, that's what it's saying. God has not given you a spirit of fear. God doesn't give fear. People of God do not have fear. You shouldn't be walking in fear. It's not for people of God. But he says he's given you miraculous power. He's made you a worker of miracles. You know, we can look at that and say for ourselves today, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know, we should not fear what God is doing. And a lot of times what happens when the power starts moving and God starts moving amongst the people in power, people get afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't back off and don't be afraid, because fear is not for the people of God. But miraculous power, miracle working power, is for God's people. And that is for you today. You should be, every single one of us, not the pastor, not the evangelist that comes to speak, every person should be walking in that miraculous power. You are a worker of miracles. It says so in the scripture. You are a miracle, a worker of miracles. And we need to start operating in that. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, in paraphrase, it says, we have this body, in this body, a treasure of miraculous power of God. We have in our body the miraculous power of God. He's not talking about being saved there. You know, the miraculous power may have saved you and changed you when you called on the name of Jesus. But what he's talking about, in this earthen vessel, he says, you have power. You have miraculous power in you. So we need to start recognizing that the power of God is available in us to flow through us out to others. Why? For God's glory. Not for anything else, but for God's glory. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, or 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, therefore we pray also for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. The work of faith has power. Has power, you know, and because we should be doing something with what we have, you know. It's not just faith, it's not just love, it's miraculous power. It should be exhibiting our faith. You know, when we talk about faith without works is dead, he's talking about miraculous power. He's talking about, you know, it's not just helping the poor, feeding the hungry, you know, that kind of thing, helping the sick neighbor. He's talking about miraculous power should exhibit your faith. Our faith should be, what we believe in us should be that God will move through me and mighty wonders and signs will work through me. But we have to believe that the power is in us and that God is willing to use us. Amen? Amen. We have this treasure. We have this miraculous power in us. If we will begin to see this. And in Debbie's Sunday school class, it's been so wonderful because she's talking to us about the way we think. And when we don't think properly, we don't act properly. Now, I'm not talking about being bad and robbing banks and anything. I'm just talking about your normal everyday life. But when you think that you can't do these things, you will not. Yeah, right. You won't. So you must believe that God has put miraculous power in you to work through you to change other people's lives. I'm telling you, the last great revival on this earth is going to have wonders and signs and miracles of all sorts to draw people of all kinds into the church. People who have never heard of God. Don't have any idea anything about God, so that because the power will draw them, and so that they can come and know God and receive Jesus and become a miracle worker themselves. We need this because we got millions and millions and billions of people who do not know Jesus. And our miraculous, and like I said earlier, the church is sitting out here. I mean, the church, what is it, 80% or 70% of the people claim to be Christians? We're not seeing any power in the 70 or 80%. And because we're not seeing this power operate through us, it's not changing the world. Where on earth or heaven or anywhere else have you had a majority of 70% of the people that can do something that don't change what is happening in their surroundings? Where does that happen? Nowhere, except for the church. And that's because we have not allowed the miraculous power that God has put in us to operate, to change our circumstances and other people's circumstances around them. Several weeks ago, Pastor Gordon said, the anointing comes to do something. And I began to think about that. And do you wonder that if the anointing is not coming, is it because we don't do anything? Because what do you need the anointing for if you're not going to do anything with it? You know, if you're not going to use it, if you don't need your lights turned on in the house, you don't turn on the switch, you know? And so if the anointing is not coming because we don't do anything with it, because the anointing comes to do something. So if it's not coming, it's because we're not doing anything with it. And that's sad. Tozer says that we prepare the altar, we cut and divide the sacrifice, but then we're satisfied to count the stones and rearrange the pieces, never caring that there's no fire. And that is the truth. That is, we are completely satisfied to come in here and worship the Lord, give our tithes and our offering, get a little blessing from the Lord, be a little blessing occasionally, you know, rearrange the stones on the altar, cut up all the pieces of the meat, say, that looks pretty good, and go home, never caring whether the sacrifice was received or anything, or touched by fire. Tommy Tenney says, you know, you can't expect the fire unless you want to be the fuel. Unless you're willing to be fuel for God. And that is really, really true. That is a truth. We have got to be willing to be the fuel that sets the sacrifice on fire. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 19, it says, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. And I will know, I think this is really interesting. I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know, he says, not the words of those puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. How will Paul know? You know, how would he have known when he got to Corinth what was going on? How would he have known? He said, it's not by your flowery, wonderful words. He says, I'm going to know whether the power's there or not. You know, and we think about Jesus. How would Jesus know whether to come? Well, because we preach good sermons? Is it because we sing good songs? Or is it because there's power in the house? How will the Holy Spirit know to come to the service? Will it be because we've called him? Or will it be because there's power being, we are willing to allow the power to come? Power has an evidence. Power has does something. Power is exhibited. It's not a nice word. It's not a nice feeling. There is evidence when there is power. Just like when you turn the switch on in the dark, there's evidence that your electric is on. Because when you turn the switch on and there's no light coming on, there's no electric coming to your house. And the same is true in the church. We have got to have power. We can turn all the switches we want, but unless there's power, there's going to be no light in the house. Verse 20, he says here that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And we being a word church, I kind of crinkle when I read that because it's like, but the word is a roadmap for the God of the word. The word is a roadmap for the God of the word. And so we need that word. But you know, we can speak nice flowery words and never have power. We never have power. And how will people know that God is in this place? By the power that is here. Let's turn to John 14, 12. Gordon mentioned this morning. John 14, 12 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." Now you can twist that, you can turn that upside down, you can turn it any way you want, but it clearly says that we should be doing the works of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, I'm just going to go down a little list here, and this is a lot of scriptures. Some of it I'm not going to wait for you to write the scriptures down, but I just want to read to you some of the things. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Jesus made water into wine. Luke 4, 28 and 8, John 8, 59. He passes unseen through a crowd. Matthew 8, 14 to 17. Mark 1, 29, 31. Luke 4, 38 and 39. Peter's mother-in-law is healed. Luke 5, there was a drought of fish brought up because Jesus told him where to go. In Matthew 8, Mark 1, Luke 5, a leper was cleansed. In Matthew 9, Mark 2, Matthew 5, a paraplegic was healed. Matthew 12, Mark 3, Luke 6, a withered hand was healed. Matthew 8, Luke 7, centurion's servant was healed. Matthew 7, a widow's son was raised from the dead. Matthew 8, Mark 4, Luke 8, a tempest was stilled. How many of you have been talking to the wind lately and stopping that deal? You know, Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. There's Matthew, Mark, and Luke that was recorded in. Matthew, a blind man was healed. Matthew, a deaf man was healed. A deaf person was healed. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, 5,000 people were fed. How many hungry people have we known that are going hungry in this country today that we could be feeding? Now, this is the miraculous power of Jesus. These are things that Jesus did. That's just a wee little bunch of what Jesus. These are things. And what did he say? "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." He's telling us these things we should be doing. Deaf people were healed. 5,000 was fed. Walking on the water. 4,000 were fed. Deaf and dumb were healed. Blind was healed. Devils were cast out. You know, when you start talking about casting out devils, people get a little freaky on you. They start backing up. "No, I don't want to deal with that." But that's one of the things that Jesus did. Found a tribute of money. It was provided by a fish. Dropsy was healed. The high priest's ear was healed. A second drought of fish was brought up. Jesus walks through a wall. Oh, I just think that is so cool. That is one of my favorite things in the scriptures. I want to do that. I want to walk through walls. I think that would be so cool. No, don't you think that would be really, really neat? I mean, you could really, yeah, I didn't want to say freak people out, but yeah, you could really freak people out. You could really, I mean, they go, "Oh my gosh," you know, and say, "Well, this is what Jesus did, and I was just doing what Jesus did, and he loves you. Don't you want to meet this Jesus? You know, I can walk on water." I mean, just think about these things. Think about the things that Jesus did. These were so cool that these are things that we should be doing. Then we talk about the apostles. A lame man was healed. The sick was healed. Dorcas was restored to life. Lame man was healed. Handkerchiefs was laid on people and they got better. I mean, this is, earthquake opened up doors and people walked free. You know, think about these things. And, you know, and I know everybody's saying, oh, it was really cool to go through the earthquake. I didn't feel the earthquake, and I consider myself blessed, you know, that I didn't feel the earth move under my feet. And whether you like the song or not, I just consider myself blessed that I didn't have to go through that. So, you know, I praise God. Powers at work. Amen. You know, Paul was unharmed by a snake, and people were just were healed because of the power of God. These are things that we should be doing. These are things that should be operating in our lives. You know, the power of God should be operating through us and in us so that God can get the glory. It is such a, God is so marvelous and wonderful. He is so great that he's like, I don't want to do this. I want you to do this, and I'm going to give you this power. So you go out and you do that. Now, how can you resist a God like that? How can you say, I don't want to do that? How can you tell God, I don't want to do that? I get uncomfortable. Fear is not for the people of God. You know. And God is so gracious and so wonderful that he's willing to use me and you to operate in the power to restore and heal and deliver people and to bring them up. Oh, and bring them to Jesus. Bring them to salvation so that they can know him and live in this same power. Won't it be wonderful when we're all doing this? Praise God. We have that to look forward to. But we should be doing it right now. Amen? Amen. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6, it says, having these gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, I know that the let us use them is part that's added there. It's kind of like, you should know that you have these gifts, and so you should be using them. You know, it wasn't in the original Greek, but it was kind of like, you should know this, but because you don't know this, I'm going to tell you this. You should be using these gifts that God has given us. So how do we turn on the switch? In James chapter 4, verse 8, it's a very simple little verse, and it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know what is interesting about this word draw? It means to drag. That's the word, drag. And you know what I saw with this? And I'm a little bit different than most people, but anyway, I could just see grabbing a hold of God, you know, like a little kid. I know all of you have done this. When you was little and your dad was walking around and you either stood on his feet or he'd grab you around you'd grab him around the leg and he would drag you. And I could just, if I will just draw near to God, he's not going to shake his leg and say, get off. He's going to drag me along. He'll let me hang on to him because he wants us to be near to him. Isn't that a neat verse to think about? If we will just latch on to God, not let go, he will drag us wherever he goes. Isn't that cool? And God will take you places that you would never imagine. You may never leave this building, but you can go places that you never, ever imagined. And that is so cool. Think about Philip when he baptized the eunuch and he was translated. He was moved from the stream across to another town. Oh, when you want to go on vacation, think about what you can do. Think about these things. That's the miraculous power of God. You know, and I'm not crazy about flying in airplanes, but to get to go to Haiti without getting on an airplane would be cool with me. You know, that'd be all right. You know, that'd be okay to go on mission trips and never have to get on an airplane would be totally cool. So, you know, that is the miraculous power working in us. And we need to have that power working in us. We have to want it. We have to, and the way we want it is we latch on to God and say, you are not going to go anywhere unless you take me. Daddy, I want to go where you go. Daddy, I want to do what you want to do. Isn't that what Jesus said? I only say the things that my Father said. I only go the places he tells me to go. I only do the things that he said to do. Boy, how could a father resist? He says, latch on and I'll drag you around. Wasn't that cool? I'll take you wherever I go. You can go also. Let's look at Psalm 63. God is so wonderful. He's so miraculous and wonderful and powerful, but yet he wants us to use this power. He wants us to have that same power in us. He wants us to have those same experiences that he has. He wants us to experience the wonderfulness of raising the dead, of healing the sick, and delivering people from their darkness and their their illness or whatever it might be, their poverty, whatever it might be. God wants us to have that same experience that he has, that he has had. He wants us to walk and to do those things also. But we have to turn on the switch. We have to turn on the power. We have to want that just as bad as he wants it for us. In Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2, David is saying, oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Now, this is a man who was after God's heart. And he can teach us something in this. He says, I will seek you early, even when things don't look good. You know, and sometimes we look out here on Sunday and Sunday evening and Wednesday. You know, your heart breaks because people are not here, that the place is not full. But, you know, even though it's a dry and thirsty land, if we will seek God, he will come. If we will look for him, he says here, I will see your power in the sanctuary. I will see your power. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that if we will seek God, if we will look for him, if we'll latch on to God and not let him go, he will show up. But too often, we're just so content with groping in the darkness, with just experiencing the omnipresence of God. We are so satisfied with that, and we shouldn't be. We need not be satisfied till we latch on to him, until we get a hold of him. And we do that by seeking God, going after him, looking for him. When we come to church, come expecting God. Come expecting God to be here. God has had many, many words in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and last month or so, about how he's turning things around for us, that there's a new wind blowing, that we're changing, that things are happening for us. But if we just sit back and say, oh, that's really nice, that'll be really cool when that happens, you know, that'll be really great when things change around here. But until we do something with what God is telling us, things are not going to change. Reach out and touch God, then reach out and touch someone else. It's time for us to start moving in this power, and it starts by seeking God and believing that he wants to do it. You know, we've got to change our believers. We got to change our understanding, our thinking, our desires. You know, we've got to desire him like David desired God. David looked for God everywhere he went. David wanted God. David latched onto his leg and God drug him around because he wouldn't let go. And even when David did things that were totally wrong, he knew who his salvation was. He knew how to turn back to him and turn back to God and latch on to him. He knew who his salvation was. He knew that his help was in the Lord. Not other people, but in the Lord. So we need to latch on to God. We need to let that power flow through us. And I'll just tell you real quick here a little story. There's been times that we've been up here and we're singing and worshiping God, and God will say something. He'll say something to me. And this, I say, well, you need to tell Gordon. God, you need to talk to Gordon. He's pastor. And I'm trying to lead worship, and I'm arguing with God in my head, you know. And I'm telling him, well, tell Gordon, you know, he's the one that should be praying for people. He's the one that should make this call. He's the one that should tell people if they need you to come up, you know. And knowing the whole time, it's just like, I know better than this. And yet I'll, you know, it's weird the things that go through your head when you're standing up here. But, you know, when God is speaking to you, you know, he might be just telling you to say a word, pray for somebody, reach out. We need to do it instead of saying, well, now's not the right time. I'm not the pastor. I'm not leading worship. You know, all of these little things that we argue with God about. And let the power flow through us and let God touch people. Because he's wanting to touch people and change lives. He wants the power here. He wants that open worship. You know, and another one of my favorite verses is in Acts, where it talks about the return of the temple of David. And the temple of David was built out on a hill. As we all know, there was no temple. He wasn't allowed to build the temple. So he takes the ark, he sets it out on a mountain, and there it set. And people could freely worship day and night. They could see God coming down on the Holy of Holies, down on the ark. They could see that because it just sat right there on the hill all the time. And that's what God wants for us. He wants open worship so that people can see his presence. But it begins with us of latching on to him, seeking after him, and bringing that power into the house. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Father, we worship you tonight, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have put miraculous power in us. Yes, Lord, we are just bodies, but we have your spirit. Father, we thank you that your spirit rules supreme in our lives. And Father God, that you, through our spirit, wants your miraculous power to operate through us and to others. That you might receive glory. That people can see you and know you and know your wonderful power and your wonderful ways. Father God, use us. Use us in a mighty, powerful way. Help us, Lord, to walk and to latch on to you and not let you go, and to hold on to you and let your miraculous power work through us, that the world could be changed. Father, we are making a choice that we no longer want to be just part of the universal church that is satisfied with your ever-present, all-knowing presence. We are glad that you are always here and that you are always present. But Father God, we want your manifested presence in this place. We want your manifested presence to operate through us. We want to see your miraculous power, God, that you would receive glory and praise. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be sons and daughters, to operate through and to be like Jesus. to do those works and greater works than these, that you would receive glory. We thank you for it, Father God. We give you all praise. We worship you and thank you, God. Let us be that fuel for the fire, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.